couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys, the Movies, and we're back again for another episode. And this week we're talking about all kinds of fun stuff that we... I don't think we've seen any of these movies. Have you seen any of these movies, Kevin?
No, I've seen two of them. Are three movies that came out. I've seen two.
That must just be me then.
Well, you're prepping for South by Southwest. So
oh, yeah, there's that.
You have an excuse this week as opposed to previous weeks where you don't see anything.
Normal weeks. Nice. Cool. Well, we're going to talk about more of that in a second, but
yes.
Before we get into that, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can catch us over at fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys the Movies on iTunes, and our awesome explicit podcast pops up.
Yes.
And if you'd like to email us, fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com. And leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. And I feel like I must explain that explicit. That if you go onto iTunes and you search
Fat
Guys of the Movies, there is an explicit tag. And that is because we used to do, well, I mean, we still have the option to do, but we haven't done in a while, the internet-only segment where we're allowed to say whatever it is we'd like to say. And I know a lot of people were big fans of that. And those are in there, so we had to put the explicit tag on the podcast. So.
And I'm the one who pointed that out, because here's an interesting aside, and we're talking about this off the air. I actually took a step into Mac territory, and I got myself an iPhone this
week. Wow, chicka, wow, wow.
Yeah, so I am now learning the joys of iPhone usage. But see, I used to hate... I used to be a Mac guy, and then I started working in an office, so I had to go PC. Now I'm used to PC, and... Then, so I haven't had a Mac, and I used to hate iTunes because you put it in your computer and it just took over everything on a PC. And they've scaled that back. It doesn't do that anymore. But like 2-3 years ago, it literally, if you loaded it and you said, no, I don't want it to use these for all these other files, it still did it anyways. It just ignored your wishes. And I was talking to the guy at the AT&T store, and he's like, well, you'll load iTunes to get your iPhone to work. And I'm like, okay. So I begrudgingly loaded it last night. And, of course, I had problems. I almost threw my machine out the window. Finally got it to work. But then I went and I looked up Fat Guys at the Movies because I never had a chance to look at it on iTunes. And I'm like, hey, why is this explicit? I'm not explicit.
You are explicit.
I'm a harmless, lovable little fuzzball.
I don't know so much about that. But I might be fuzzy. That's what
you are.
I'm told. I'm told that I'm fuzzy.
You have a neck beard.
Well, yeah, and I think that if you would like to be known as fuzzy, you should also get a neck beard.
And you live in Austin, though, Austin, Texas, which is huge with chubby guys with neck beards who like movies
and fuzziness. Yeah,
fuzziness. Yes.
It's very chic here. The women.
That's where all the chubby.
The women just
go.
Fall all over you.
Is that where all the chubby chasers go?
I don't know about that.
Really?
I don't want to say anything that's going to get me in trouble with my special lady friend.
Your lady friend. Okay. Yes. We won't hamper any
cuz she doesn't think I'm chubby, so that wouldn't even fit. Wouldn't even
Oh,
apply.
She'd be what was she going to suddenly see you and be like, "You're right. You are fat. You're huge."
I hope not.
Yeah.
For my
Well,
sake.
you can't see your chubbiness cuz your fur covers all of it.
See, this is true. I've heard black is a good color on me.
Wow.
Anyways, let's talk about this movie.
Yeah, I'm going to throw up here. The first movie we're going to talk about is Miss March, in which a guy wakes up from a 4-year coma to discover his girlfriend is now a Playboy playmate, so he and his buddy take a road trip to hook up with her.
Meet me upstairs in 5 minutes.
Sure.
I am going to do it.
Go for it, Eugene.
The next time you see me, I will be a man.
Wait, that's not the whole one. Wake up!
What is going on?
You fell down the stairs after prom and were in a coma for 4 years.
How come just you're here? Where's Cindy?
Right there.
Oh, my God.
This is true love speaking, Eugene, and it's telling us to go to the Playboy Mansion.
Think you could do it?
I could try.
Yes, that's the spirit.
No! Don't worry, dude. Things work out.
This one you didn't see, correct?
No, but it sounds awesome based on the description.
Yeah, okay. It's
based on the description alone.
Yeah, I mean, it's directed by and written by Zach Kreger, I think is how you pronounce his name, and Trevor Moore. They're from The Whitest Kids You Know.
Right.
It's a TV show on IFC. And you know what? It has its moments, and I'll give it that, because it does have funny moments to it. The problem is it just reeks of the first-time filmmaking process.
Yeah.
I mean, because this is their first... big feature. They do short form comedy on TV, but this is their first feature, and it's tough to direct, write, and star in any movie. I mean, there aren't a whole lot of people that can do that anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
except for Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson. And look what happened to him. And like, I mean, it happens. You know, like Woody Allen's able to do that, and you know, Mel Brooks is able to do that. I mean, but these guys, they're comfortable in front of the camera, but it does have a little bit of an amateurish feel to it. But if you want that sort of raunchy road comedy, I mean, it delivers. It's definitely an R rating. And later on in the show, we're gonna play some interview clips that I had. I interviewed these guys. Couple weeks ago when they were on a tour, and they gave me some insights into the, let's just say, the more risque parts of the film.
Excellent. Would you, now we talked a lot at length about Sex Drive last year when it came out, and how that was, you know, very kind of similar, smaller, a little bit raunchier film. How would you compare that to Sex Drive?
I like Sex Drive a lot more, actually. Sex Drive just seemed a little more cohesive, mm-hmm. and
it also had Seth Green in it, which is a big win for any movie.
Well, yeah. Well, but see, the thing is, Miss March, it's like they kind of try too hard. Like Trevor Moore, one of the characters he plays is, I don't know if he's really, I really couldn't even bring myself to ask him this in the interview because I couldn't figure out a way to do it without kind of being insulting. But he really kind of channels Jim Carrey from Ace Ventura, and not in the best of ways. It's sort of like I think he's trying to pay homage to him, but
it just so kind of a little bit too much, though.
Yeah, it kind of comes across as that. And then like the whole story is this Playboy playmate, but she's not nude in it. And I mean, call me crazy, but if you're gonna have a person play a Playboy playmate, and then you open up the magazine and you see the centerfold, you should at least she should be naked. It just took me out.
She's
of the
not
movie.
Naked.
No, and she's not even.
This movie's over.
I'd understand if it was like, you know, like Scarlett Johansson was and she's like, no, I don't want to do a nude scene. It's going to cost you $20,000 per breast or whatever. But this
maybe,
girl's
maybe
pretty
20
much
million
an unknown
for Scarlett.
Well, yeah. But this girl's pretty much unknown, and she didn't want to do a nude scene. I'm like, you're playing a playmate, you know.
Wow.
So
take it off, sister. Let's go.
Yeah. I mean, for the context of the film, I mean, I'm not calling for nudity on every single actress out there, although I'd be happy with that, but in this film, it really warranted it. It kind of was silly to not have her be naked. And then they also have a cameo with Hugh Hefner. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for the guy, but not in the acting department.
Well, I mean, he's Hugh Hefner.
I mean, there's probably a certain amount of acting he's had to do over the years. But, yeah, he is just terrible in this movie. So it's funny. And if you want that kind of raunchy comedy, but it really is trying to be that Judd Apatow kind of style thing. So to me, it's a kind of sucks movie.
Kind of sucks, Kevin Carr says. Yes. I guess I'm going to have to agree with you because I didn't see the movie. Although, I don't know. Playboy Playmate that doesn't get naked.
And she's totally hot, too. That's the thing.
Oh, see, that's an even bigger disappointment.
I mean, if they're like, yeah, she's Playboy Playmate, and it's like Rosie O'Donnell comes waddling in, I'd be like, that's fine.
Yeah, that's fine. Keep the clothes on.
Yeah.
This is an exit to Eden.
Spare the women and children.
Indeed. Right. Anyways, that's how that happened. When we come back, we're going to talk about a few other movies. And we're back on Fat Guys the Movies. And during the break, I was trying to get Kevin to sign up for Twitter.
You were trying to Twitter me all the way from
Boston. I was. Now that he has an iPhone, I'm going to be inundating him with all kinds of cool applications.
I actually downloaded the Facebook app.
Do you even have a Facebook?
I think I have a Facebook account somewhere. My wife is like crazy into Facebook now. But see, for me, I
think she and I are friends on Facebook.
Are you really?
Yeah.
You slut. But
we're just friends.
Is there something more if you ping past friendship on Facebook?
Oh no, trust me, I could tell you firsthand that there are potentially dangerous social situations by changing certain statuses on Facebook.
Wow. Well, what's funny is the guy that I think I told you this off the air, but I'll tell it for the listeners. There's an app called Loop or something like that that you can get
Looped.
In a group and
yeah,
and you can see where everybody is at, because every iPhone has a GPS, so the new ones do at least. And I'm like, that's kind of creepy. That really is creepy that you can.
It certainly is.
You know, and it's not 100% accurate because I was looking up finding myself on the GPS and it said like I was next door. I'm in my house and next door. It was that I was in the backyard. So, anywho. So, yeah, but I don't do Facebook because I've never gotten into the social networking stuff because I work on the internet. So why do I want to spend my free time on the internet? That's kind of always.
Which actually anyone else would. Would argue the reverse.
Yeah.
That if you spend all your time on the internet, you should be a part of that.
Yeah.
You know. But anyways, whatever. Let's talk about some movies.
Whoop. Okay.
What's left? Oh, Last House on the Left.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
A group of criminals brutalize two teenage girls, and one of the girls' parents kicks the holy shale out of them.
Evening. You knew not to bring anybody back here.
We made the front page. That's what's going on.
This is none of our business.
I'm sorry, ladies.
Oh, my God.
We just can't risk it.
Oh, no. No, no. Please.
These are two lovely girls, Justin.
Bring her back.
You got her. Now what?
Now, have you seen the original of this movie?
Of course not. It's a horror movie.
I would say no. This is a movie. It's originally done by Wes Craven, and it's a remake. He's doing the remake. He's not directing it, but
right.
The original film is sort of that extreme. It was predates Saw and Hostel, so it's not like torture, but it is that. There was this thing in the 70s of young kids going trying to find marijuana and then getting raped and beaten and killed kind of thing. You know, Texas Chainsaw was like that. And
yeah.
It's very similar to The Hills Have Eyes, just without the mutants. Okay. I guess you can say, where it's like this rape, murder, revenge kind of thing. So,
awesome. I like it when it doesn't include mutants.
Yeah. They didn't screen it for us, so I'm not holding out much hope because I thought the movie... I mean, the original movie's hilarious to watch in a big crowd. I saw it at a film festival once, and we were howling because it's so poorly made and ridiculous. And we were laughing at so much stuff, and it's just so extreme. And when they go into the revenge storyline, it's just completely off the chart. This one, I think they're going to just make it more... They're just going to make it ultra-violent. But a funny story, since I can't review the movie because they didn't screen it for us, which gives it a preemptive suck.
Unfortunately, because the word on the streets is that it's actually pretty good. Yeah. But
well, we'll see. I'm going to go check it out.
Preemptive suck. That's what you get, studio.
Yeah,
who put this out.
Take that, Rogue Pictures. but I was in high school, and I was going to the video store, and I'm like, oh, I want to get this movie. And I thought it was basically, somebody had told me the plot line to Amityville Horror, but they said it was Last House on the Left, which is a little bit more, it's like a ghost story. And I'm like, oh, is this like a ghost story? So I rented it and brought it home, and I watched it with my girlfriend, my mother, and my sister.
Ooh.
That was the most uncomfortable time I'd had watching a movie with my family ever.
Right.
So don't take a date unless you really know her, I guess.
Fair enough.
So let's
Well, no, you know what I think is interesting about this movie before we move on to Race to Witch Mountain?
Sure.
Is that it seems to me to be one of those like realistic thrillers. Like, this could actually happen. It's not like a stupid ghost story that obviously couldn't happen. Or like, it's not like, you know, the special needs kid who is dead but isn't really dead but comes out of the water and murders kids. Like, this is some scariness because it could...
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, it's kind of sick like that. It's not mutants or anything weird.
That visceral horror movie was very big in the 70s. Like I said, you had Texas Chainsaw, you had Last House on the Left, you had The Hills Have Eyes. The sort of it could happen, it could really happen kind of thing.
Right.
You know, that exists. You know, those were big movies, but...
yeah, and I think those are even scarier than some of the other movies.
Well, they are, but with how torture porn kind of really took a hit last year and the year before.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm curious because it's not really torture porn. I mean, it's not Saw. It's not Hostel. But it is brutality. So we'll see how well it does. I'm going to go see it.
Yeah. Well, we'll await your report this weekend.
I'll
on
take
the,
my kids.
The weekend report card on filmschoolrejects.com.
That's right.
Shameless plug. Yes. But moving on, next movie is Race to Witch Mountain, in which Dwayne Johnson stars as a cabbie who picks up two mysterious teenagers with supernatural powers and must help them find their way home.
Where to?
We must travel in that direction. My brother and I heard not from your planet.
Well, you don't look like aliens.
What does an alien look like?
You know what aliens look like? They're like little green people with antennas that take me to your leader, Earthlings. Ooh.
You're telling me you think those two kids were extraterrestrials searching for their missing spaceship? Our spaceship is locked inside Witch Mountain. If we don't get there in time, the invasion will begin.
Did you ever see the original Escape to Witch Mountain or Return to Witch Mountain?
No, but I was supposed to get a copy on DVD, but they didn't send them to me.
They did special editions of DVDs. They're fun movies, but they are so steeped in the 70s. They're such 70 movies, they actually kind of look like an episode of like Starsky and Hutch.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Sort of like that. Yeah. There's that very generic sort of TV look to a lot of movies, lower-end movies that came out. But the original was a lot of fun, although watching it now, it doesn't hold up as strongly, but still, I showed it to my kids and they liked it. The sequel wasn't as good, but it's still kind of fun for what it is. This one's totally different.
Okay.
The first one is much more subdued. It's these kids trying to discover who they are, whereas this one's more taken from the cabbie's point of view, the guy who helps them, and they know they're aliens and they're going to they got to get back to their spaceship, and that's basically the whole thing. That's not a spoiler. You know they're aliens literally from the first shot, and
it's in the trailer actually.
Yeah,
the kid gets hit by a car and the car like flips over him.
Yeah, and
so he's either an alien or he's Clark Kent.
It's totally a just a rocking action piece for like a 12-year-old.
Awesome.
It's
perfect for me.
Yeah, it's like if Michael Bay made a Disney movie. Although he did make Disney movies. He made Touchstone movies. But if he made a kid's movie, this would be the movie.
Oh, very cool.
I mean, it is just nonstop action. And what's great about it is, of course, sort of a subplot is they go to this, they're in Las Vegas and there's a UFO convention in town, and that's where Carly Gugino's character comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a UFO expert. So anyone who's ever been to like Comic-Con or any of the smaller sci-fi or UFO conventions, you'll totally get into the characters, just the silliness that they do with the
I don't buy about this movie.
What?
And this is just going on the trailers and the countless video clips. I've probably almost seen the whole movie at this point.
Yeah.
I don't buy The Rock as a cabbie. He's not a cabbie type of guy. Like, I feel like Tony Shalhoub should have played the cabbie.
Well,
I don't buy, like, how many big ripped up, semi-charming, funny, like, handsome dudes are driving cabs in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Or anywhere, for that matter.
I know. I've seen Taxi Cab Confessions, and there's some ugly dudes driving cabs.
No offense to the cab drivers that listen to our show, but let's just say it is not a beauty pageant out there.
I will say.
And The Rock is a good-looking dude.
I've been in a decent number of cabs, and no one's ever been as good-looking as The Rock driving it.
Yeah.
Well, but see, there is an explanation, because the whole thing is his character used to be a criminal. He kind of used to be a heavy for this mobster, and so he went to prison, and now he's out of prison. He's trying to go straight. He's trying to go legit. So
it should be like the guy who played Polly Walnuts on The Sopranos, not The Rock. I can think of like 100 different people who make sense for that other than The Rock. But hey, you know what? It's a Disney movie. It's better than The Game Plan, I'm sure. And,
hey, The Game Plan wasn't bad. That was a cute movie.
And well, it's got action in it. That one just said football.
Yeah, this one,
which
this
is
one
good,
has
but not great.
Tons of action, and I'll tell you, it kind of keeps the spirit of Escape to Witch Mountain, but it's a very different movie, but in a good way. That's what I like to say.
All right, cool, fair enough.
And
what's
it has
your official grade?
And it has Carla Gugino in it, and she's
probably her best performance of the month.
Definitely better than her performance in Watchmen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, although the comedian doesn't try and violate her in this movie, so
nice. So, what's your
my review? I'm gonna say kind of rocks on this one.
Nice. Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, when we come back, we're going to do a little, you know, box office and then some other random shenanigans.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. We are getting ready to do our box office after we rated our films from this week, or I rated the films from this week, because Neil, you haven't seen anything, but I give you a pass because you're prepping for South by Southwest.
Yeah, South by is gonna be fun. I'll send you a postcard.
Great.
From my house, which is also in Austin.
Wish you were here.
Yeah.
And is your house the last one on the left?
Oddly enough, it is the last building on the left.
Oh, it is? It's the last one on the left. Last house on the left. There you go.
It's the one with the really awesome view of the trailer park and the carport.
That is awesome. So
it's okay. They have a big fence up. Keeps me away from those people.
The teenage girls.
In the trailer park?
Yes. They're like, look out for the neckbeard man. Wow. The Sasquatch is coming.
You just took that in like the total other direction I was going in. But
I know, that's what I do. That is my superpower.
It is your superpower. Anyways, what are we talking about now?
Speaking of superpowers, let's talk about last week's box office.
Oh, right. Watchmen.
Watchmen.
Watchmen apparently failed by making $55 million.
Well, you know what this reminds me of? The numbers are... It's the numbers... are almost the same as last year with Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian.
Mm.
They were predicting the same box office. It came in about $20 million less.
Yeah.
And it had a similar, you know, $150 million size budget.
Yeah.
So even though it's a hit, it's a bona fide blockbuster. It's going to go over $100 million.
Right.
It's still considered kind of a disappointment.
Well, and I think that there was a great amount of expectation from true fans of the book, because they, you know, this book, the book Watchmen, is held as we explained last week, one of the greatest achievements in comic history. So, you know, in the minds of a hardcore Watchmen fan, this thing should have made Dark Knight money, but that's very unrealistic, especially for a March release and for being an R-rated movie and all that.
Well, people were putting it up against 300 and saying... Well, it was interesting because I remember, I tend to do this. I did this with Grindhouse a couple years ago. I was like, I'm excited to see it, but I'm like, it's going to be lucky to make $30 million in the theaters. And there was a critic in town who will go nameless, who was like, no, it's got Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez. This is going to make $30 million its opening weekend. Yeah. It like topped out off at like 26. And the same thing happened with Watchmen. I was at an Oscar party, and I kind of made a comment. I'm like, I don't think it's going to do that $70-80 million, and it's not going to do like 300, because I said it's R rated, and it's kind of hard to grasp sometimes, and it's all fanboy hype. And the same person was like, "Oh, are you kidding me? No, 300 was R rated. It's going to make $70 million plus."
You know what I think though? I'm really sticking to this theory that 300 appealed to a wider range of moviegoer. 300 appealed to females. Watchmen does not. Like, very... I mean, and there are a lot of females that I know that have gone to see it who did not connect with the female characters in the movie, you know, because they're very weak female characters and even
there's
weaker
not much
performances.
To the females. Yeah.
So, you know,
well,
and 300
them,
was like...
Really.
Yeah, and 300 was like a bunch of ripped up dudes in loincloth. And, I mean, I'm sorry, ladies... The secret's out. Y'all like that too. So
yeah, that's true. But I think I also pointed it out this last week on the show. I said, you ask somebody what's 300 about, they're like, yeah, 300 guys go against the entire Persian army.
Right.
That's what it's about. You can. It's like 10 words.
Right.
What's Watchmen about?
You
You're
get
just
a
like,
dissertation.
Well, blah 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 blah. There's this blue guy with a giant, you know, junk on the screen, and you know, I mean, it just goes on and on. It's hard to encapsulate. And I think what was so funny is everyone was predicting 300 numbers plus, you know, like 70 million plus its opening weekend. And then the Jonas, and what I thought was so funny is if you saw the box office pundits scatter because of the Jonas Brothers. That's what I thought was so funny, because once the Jonas Brothers movie kind of really came, really, really underperformed, they're like, oh, I guess hype doesn't drive a movie, which we've had proved many times before.
Indeed.
But I just think it's funny that it was the Jonas Brothers that made the box office pundits back off on this.
Interesting.
Because it wasn't until that week before that people are like, well, I don't want to... I literally was trying to find people predicting numbers, and they were like, I really don't want to predict my numbers for this.
Well, it was very hard because, you know, it was very much new territory, I guess.
Yeah.
In being such a different kind of comic movie.
I mean, I like the movie. And I'm glad they made it. But, yeah, it's funny that it is going to probably top off at $110, $120 million, and it's going to be considered a flop.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So
it's not like they were looking to make sequels or anything. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, all right, so let's talk about this weekend. Who's going to win this weekend?
Excuse me.
We got
I'm dying.
Race to Witch Mountain's your biggest release. Last House on the Left in some smaller theaters. Miss March is only in 1,700 theaters, so I don't think... I don't know. I'm not feeling like that's going to be a big deal.
Miss March is going to be lucky to make the top five.
Right. I'll agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. And the only reason it might is because it's the only kind of comedy out there. But man, Paul Blart is still in the top 10.
Watch out for Paul Blart and the resurgence.
That's right. Yeah. Although I will say that Cole Abias's prediction that Madea's family reunion was going to come back and trounce the Watchmen, he was wrong.
Yeah, which is why we didn't invite him back for a second week in a row.
Yes, silly boy.
He was so wrong.
So here's my question. What do you think is going to win the weekend?
I don't know. I think it's going to be tight. I think Race to Witch Mountain has a shot, but I also think Last House on the Left, even though it's in less theaters, has a shot as well. But I think it's going to be a tight between those two and Watchmen. So I think a lot of people are still going to go see Watchmen this week. But it's going to be a lower. I have a feeling like this is going to be like the calm. We're coming back into the calm period where like the winner of the box office is going to make like 18 million.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be like 18, 17, 16, 10.
Well, and I have to say, if I were to put money on it, I would put money on Race to Witch Mountain because.
Yeah. It's a Disney movie. And those.
Well, it's a Disney movie. And we really haven't had a good, solid kids movie that you can take everybody to. Not since, I guess you could say, Coraline.
Yeah, Coraline, you know, was kind of like that. It was a little dark though. This is really seems very light.
This is utterly and completely playing to the Disney crowd, the family audience. We haven't had a family movie. That's why I think Paul Blart is doing so well, because it is something you take the kids to.
Yeah.
It's not crass, it's not stupid. Well, it is stupid, but I think that this one's going to fill this niche. The dark movies, we've had dark movies and horror movies so far, and there's not the power behind The Last House on the Left that there was behind, say, like Friday the 13th.
Yeah. So, fair enough.
So, I if I were to put money, I'd say Race to Witch Mountain is going to win this one.
Yeah, I kind of have to go with you on that one.
You have to
agree. Though, don't be surprised if it's very tight in the top three between Race to Witch Mountain, Watchmen, and Last House on the Left.
I think Watchmen's going to take a bigger tumble than people are even expecting. Mm. It'll be lucky to crack 20 million.
I suppose we'll see, Kevin Carr. We shall see.
Yes, we shall.
Moving along, let's hear what you talk to these whitest kids about.
Yeah, I talked to Trevor and Zach from The Whitest Kids You Know and from Miss March. We talked a little bit about the movies and about the movie, and I didn't waste time with sort of like what's your inspiration and, you know, who inspires you to make films and what are your artistic needs. I started out straight to the breasts. So here's the first clip where I thank them for the breasts. First of all, I want to say thank you for the breasts.
Oh, no problem.
You got it.
The girl who played the lead, your girlfriend in the movie, Raquel. I mean, a very attractive girl, not super well known. Why don't we get to see her naked?
I don't think she wanted to be.
Yeah, she didn't want to be.
I don't think she wanted to be naked. But, I mean, actually, I think that was... I don't think we ever really asked her to be naked. Like, there was the centerfold. When you do see the centerfold, I think that would be the only place where, you know, she would have been naked in the thing. But, I don't know. In some way, I think it's almost good that you don't see her naked, because there is the whole I guess it kind of keeps something like, you know, she's the one that you're like, they're traveling across the country for, and you never really see her, and she's kind of got that whole good, is she a good girl or is she a bad girl mystique through the whole movie, so that, I guess, keeps it on the, not that she would be bad if she didn't have her, you know, boobs covered,
I don't know. I mean, part of me thinks that, like, in the rules of the universe of the movie, she shouldn't be naked. I don't know why. She should not be.
Yeah.
I can't really explain it. It's a good question.
But it comes down to she didn't want to do it.
Yeah, but that, I mean, really, it's a moot point, you know? So that's why we haven't really had this discussion before, because she wouldn't do it. So
that's why you had six other girls in the wings.
Yeah. But did we ever ask her to do it? I don't know that we ever asked her
It was. I think it was established pretty upfront that she wasn't going to do it. So it was like, whatever.
Okay. So there's your answer. That's why she wasn't naked in the movie.
Which is very unfortunate, by the way.
Unfortunate, because she was a good-looking girl. But you know who was naked in the movie?
Who?
Zach Cregger.
Oh, excellent. Directors.
So I got to ask him about his scene. Is that something that you're just like, hell yeah, I'll do that? Or did you got to be coaxed into it?
No, I didn't have to be coaxed in, but I also wasn't like, oh, hell yeah. You know, it's one of those things where it's like you're writing, it's like, well, that would be funny. All right. You know, I'm not going to, like, not make a scene as funny as possible. So, I mean, yeah, it's just one of those things you got to just, like, grit and bear it. And so I did, yeah.
Was it cold?
Yeah, it was cold. It was awful, man. It's terrible. And like, you know, there's all these people around, and, you know, I'm getting wet, you know, with the thing, and it's terrible. It's not fun. I know some people probably would love to be in that situation. I don't understand that.
Perverts.
Yeah.
Well, he said perverts would like to be in that situation, but I'd say if you go to fatguysinthemovies.com, you'll see me pretty much naked.
So what does that say about you?
I have no idea. I refuse to say anything more to implicate
myself.
Fair
enough. Don't want to be in trouble with your special lady friend.
Yes, there you go. And so that's him doing the nude scene. I guess he made up for it. And now we have one more thing. There's an explosive diarrhea scene. There is a subplot involving this explosive diarrhea. And, of course, they actually have to show it at one point. So I had to ask because it's me.
I got a 9-month-old son at home, so I deal with, no pun intended, I deal with every day.
Right.
There's that one scene, and you know what I'm talking about. It's explosive.
Yeah, diarrhea.
Yeah. It looks very real. What was the... Can you kind of talk through around that, just because I'm obsessed with that kind of stuff? Mm-hmm. And I want to know, was it any point that you go, we're not going to do this, we're not going to show it, and then when you showed it, what was it like, and was it... You mean, was it like just chocolate and tastes good or something like that?
Oh, no, the weekend before Zach has the diarrhea in the scene, he just ate nothing but oatmeal and warm beer, and then tried to keep it in until we shot, and then just let it go. We had one take at it, and it looks great.
I nailed it.
Yeah.
Oatmeal and warm beer.
You know, I've never even tried to combine those two.
And you just ate it for a whole weekend, so...
Oh, the magic of cinema.
It's impressive. So, you know, if you want to see these scenes, if you want to not see the girl naked, see Zach naked, and see explosive diarrhea, this is the movie for you, apparently.
Yeah, Miss March, opening this weekend. Yes. All right, cool. Well, when we come back...
From the studio that brought you Little Miss Sunshine.
And on that note, it's time for break. Wrapping you up here on Fat Guys the Movies, we've rolled through some reviews of movies that Kevin saw, and we talked about Watchmen again, because it was inevitable. Yes. And now it's time for us to do, as we always do, the DVD roundup. So we'll start with you, Kevin, because I think you've got some interesting ones, I suppose.
It's a mixed bag, we'll say. The first one is Pinocchio. It's coming out 70th anniversary on DVD. And Blu-ray. And this is what's interesting. I mean, it's just loaded with special features. It's a platinum edition. It's got tons of extra stuff. Disney always does this kind of thing up really well. What's interesting is they did this thing with the Blu-ray because the movie shot with a 4:3 aspect ratio. It wasn't widescreen.
Yeah.
And when I first heard about this, I'm like, well, this is kind of dumb. They put panels on either side so that the movie would be widescreen. They just kind of artwork on the other side. Yeah. And I'm like, well, that's just, why is that news? You know what I mean? But then, you know, I like would go over to like my brother-in-law's parents' house and they're watching Scrubs in widescreen, which is not shot in widescreen, but they set it up so it squishes it out and it completely distorts the picture, but they're like, no, it's quality because it's in widescreen. And so first of all, it's not high definition anyways. And then it's all squished out and it looks terrible, but people are just so obsessed with that widescreen. So I totally get why Disney did that. I mean, it makes sense. It's just, I would just deal with the black bars if it was me.
So. Yeah.
But it's on Blu-ray. It's and it comes, and you can buy it on Blu-ray, and the Blu-ray release comes with a standard DVD in it, which is kind of cool.
That's kind of cool. Yeah, I'm still waiting for my copy of that to show up.
Yep. Another animated favorite I have is South Park Season 12. Probably okay. One of the funniest seasons on record. This is the one where they talk about Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and they also talk about the election, and they kind of make fun of McCain and Obama. So that's pretty good. And then there's also Milk is out this week on DVD, and I love that movie. I thought it was really well done.
Right.
So,
because you were a gay rights activist back in the 70s.
Exactly. Well, no, I've said this before that I hate Gus Van Sant and I hate Sean Penn. And I saw the movie and I like really enjoyed it. I thought Sean Penn was lovable and very warm. And I'm like, now that is an awesome acting.
And you wanted to date him. Just admit it.
I wanted to kiss him.
Wow. Okay. Anyways, moving on to my picks. We've got, I'm going a little indie, Battle in Seattle.
Yes. Which was a pretty decent film.
Really, really surprisingly good film, especially if you liked Milk and you're into activism. This one's kind of a more modern day, but a little bit more of an actioner. Woody Harrelson, yeah. Charlize Theron, you know.
Very different constructed film.
Yeah, and I, you know, it's very cool, and it's out on DVD and Blu-ray. Yeah. Also, Let the Right One In, the 12-year-old Swedish vampire movie that kind of took the world and the internet by storm last year.
Yep.
Finally out on DVD for all those of you who didn't see it at the 900 film festivals that it played at. And you know what? If you like vampire movies, like if you thought Twilight was like a terrible vampire movie and you want to see something like very raw and very violent and very sort of real, I guess, as real as a vampire movie can get, this is your movie. You know, this is like the anti-Twilight.
My favorite scene, I'm not going to say anything about it, I'll just tell you what scene was my favorite. Swimming mm-hmm. pool. The swimming pool scene.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I would agree. Very, very good scene. So, there you go. And now it's time for me to be offended as Kevin reads the stinker.
Stinker, Howard the Duck Special Edition. This was like...
I'm offended. Howard the Duck is offended? An awesome movie.
Oh my God. It's
awesome movie.
It makes no sense. It's got like
it doesn't need to. It
it's sort of like, isn't it sort of like some kind of wonderful storyline with Leah Thompson as a rocker?
Doesn't matter what it is. It's Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck was a terrible. I remember when it came out, it was such a colossal failure. It was, and pun completely intended, it was a foul, foul movie.
Oh, I like Howard the Duck, and I covet the special edition that I got, so.
Yeah, I saw that Brian Gibson on Film School Rejects put it as one of his big picks, and I'm like, are you kidding
See?
Me?
See, Brian knows what's up. That's
no, he
Brian,
doesn't.
Too. I mean, no, Brian generally doesn't know what's up.
Brian generally doesn't watch the movies before he recommends them on DVD.
But he knows what's up when it comes to Howard the Duck, okay? Yeah,
whatever.
You obviously don't.
Beverly Hills Chihuahua was better than Howard the Duck.
I don't think so, but that's just speculation.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyways, moving along to our review wrap-up. I guess we'll just pull Kevin here.
Yes.
Race to Witch Mountain.
Kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks. Miss March.
Kind of sucks.
And Last House on the Left gets a preemptive suck for the lack of screening in the flyover states.
That's right.
So, coming up next week we've got all kinds of stuff. We've got Duplicity with Julia Roberts and Clive Owen. And that looks... I don't know.
We'll see.
We've got I Love You Man with Paul Rudd and Jason Segel. Uh-huh. We've got Knowing with Nicolas Cage, which early buzz on Knowing is that it's pretty interesting and good. So, and also,
I like
next
Alex
week,
Proyas. I don't care about
Alex
Nicolas
Cage. Alex Proyas has got good stuff. He makes good movies. Yeah. So, also interesting. Next week we'll be talking a little bit about South by Southwest here in Austin.
You're not going to see any of these movies by.
I will have seen I Love You Man because it's premiere. It's the opening night,
okay.
And I might see Knowing. I mean, I have a screening of Knowing. I just don't know if I'll be able to make it yet.
Yeah.
So same with Duplicity. So, but yeah. So we'll talk a little bit about South by Southwest and some of the cool films we saw there, and yeah, we'll see how it goes. In between now and then, if you'd like to get a hold of us, fatguysthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes, Fat Guys the Movies. You can search that, and it comes up. If you'd like to email us, fatguysfilmschoolrejects.com.
Hey, did we get any emails or phone calls this week?
Not this week. It's a little late in the game to be reading those anyways, Kevin.
Just very intense.
Keep an
seconds.
Eye on the clock here. Okay. And if you'd like to call us, 614-388-8735. With that, we send you off into the wilderness.